Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Front Office Show is presented by the Magellan Corporation. Theo Epstein, the president of the Cubs, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Theo, we always appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'm just curious, as you've taken in this now fairly big stretch, you know, 20 and 27 in the last 47 games, how are you feeling about your team right now?
We're all really frustrated, obviously, and it's a stretch of play that nobody's proud of, and nor should anybody be. So, you know, it's hard. But I think you find out a lot about what people are made of during stretches like these, and it obviously can't continue. It's not acceptable, but you know, there've been too many words about it and not enough action. So nothing I could say, especially on a radio interview, is really gonna make it better. I think it's incumbent on all of us to, find ways out of it. And obviously on our end, that's, you know, a big part of that is transactional. And this is the time of year to do that. So we're working on that end of it. Change is obviously called for if we keep playing like this. But there's opportunities for everyone to do better. Every player, every coach, everyone associated with what we're doing right now, it's not satisfactory. And I think there definitely is that realization, you know, being around the team and guys are disgusted and working hard to change and improve.
Is there something in particular that is more disturbing than other things? Because a lot of what we've seen, Theo, is just it's not your baseball team that we're used to seeing, fundamentals that are not being deployed on a regular basis. With anything in particular?
Yeah, that's fair. That's really fair. It's way sloppier than we're used to, and like we come out of the chute sloppy. Like from the first inning, our first innings have been terrible. You know, so we're going down, you know, 1-2-3 without a fight with you know, less than 10 pitches and letting the opponent really get into a good rhythm early, and then we're sort of making a lot of mental errors early and getting ourselves in a hole and then not fighting back. There hasn't been, you know, the normal amount of fight that we're used to seeing. You know, we didn't have a ton of comebacks, and a lot of these games have been over and just kind of turn the page to the next day and try to do better, but that's not us. It's not good enough. It's certainly not good enough, you know, in a competitive NL Central and competitive National League. So I think it's just that, you know, that you identified just the sloppiness and the mental errors and the lack of fight. It's like we don't have our real identity right now. The identity that we do have, or that we, it looks like we have, isn't a good one. It's not a winning one. With the way we're playing right now. So that has to bother you, and it does.
What can be done about it?
Well, I mean, these things can turn around. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what can be done. I mean, I think we focus a lot on, individually asking our guys to be their best selves, you know, be their best selves with their preparation, physical standpoint, fundamentally, and then especially in times like these, from a mental standpoint, so they can A, play better, and B, be there to sort of pick up their teammates better. You know, one thing we haven't been doing is playing great like team baseball, and it's hard when you're losing. But the sort of team concept is really important, and when that's lacking, it's hard to have the kind of energy you need to turn things around. So I think everyone individually be their best selves. It starts there. That's obviously easier said than done, and then, you know, change some things in the environment. Joe had a meeting yesterday and sort of went into some detail about some things that can be done. Players, I know from one-on-one conversations with them, they're trying different things and talking to one another about approaching things a little bit differently. So there is a lot of change being attempted behind the scenes. It's not not the types of things we can go into great detail and talking about publicly, because it kind of ruins it. And the bottom line, it hasn't worked yet.
Right.
I'm not sure it's been real effective, but no, it's not. I mean, it's not as if everyone's showing up just trying the same thing over and over again every day, that's for sure. And then from a roster standpoint, we've got some areas that haven't been as productive as we would have expected. Even areas going into the season where we were, two, three, four deep with players that we felt could hold down a position like second base, for example. We were incredibly deep, and we haven't gotten, for one reason or another, the production we're looking for out of anybody. So there's some sense to being patient. When you have multiple options with anyone who can step forward and be really productive and be a good solution, but when it doesn't happen, obviously at some point you have to start to shuffle the deck and make changes, and you're working aggressively behind the scenes to try to make some changes. If we don't snap out of this, a lot of change is called for, that's obvious.
Hey, Theo, we're going to either reestablish or ask you to not walk around the office if that's what's going on, because the cell connection is going in and out. Are you walking right now? Are you getting some exercise, or is it just a bad connection here?
It might just be a bad connection.
Okay, sounds great right there.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
That sounds perfect right there. During your conversations with Jed and everybody on your staff, and you talk about what you've got and what you want, and there's a lot of needs right now. What are those things you need to see over the next 4 weeks before you decide to pick a lane on buy, sell, or sit on your hands?
Well, I don't think sit on our hands is really a really viable option, because if we want to be in a position to have enough belief that we're looking to aggressively add and sort of polish up what we feel can be a championship team. If we're not, that means that this stretch of bad play has continued, and if the stretch of bad play continues, then certainly a ton of change for changes is in order, because it'll have been a long stretch of unacceptable play. And then I'm sure your fans are sitting there listening to this saying, well, what about the change to spur us to play better? And that's certainly on the table too, and we're looking at those types of deals too. Unfortunately, you can't just press a button and make deals and deals that fit your club and that would have a chance to work. But I think certainly between now and July 31st, if we haven't started to play better, even if we have in some areas, change to shore up the weak spots in the roster after a healthy amount of patience is called for, and change to just change the environment might be called for. The change is a catalyst. There are lots of different areas. I mean, you guys can read the stat sheet and see what positions we're not getting production from. And certainly this is just on a production basis, the thinnest, worst bench and the worst depth that we've had since we've been here. And it's been a calling card of ours to have, a lot of quality depth. And no matter who gets hurt, no matter who gets a day off, you're always throwing someone in the lineup who can really produce, and that has not been the case this year. And with some of the guys, it's been a head scratcher. But you get to the All-Star break, and it's that way, and you have to accept it for what it is, and try to improve it.
We're talking to Cubs President of Baseball Operations Theo Epstein, McNeil and Parkins on The Score. So it sounds like anything and everything is on the table, and I'll be honest, I'm interested in the fact that you said maybe change for change's sake in terms of culture, because that maybe suggests that it might not just be the roster that needs changing.
No, I did not say change for change's sake as far as the culture. Those are your words, not mine. But I think with the environment, like if we just keep doing the same thing over and over again, if this is truly this group of human beings is going to, all of us collectively are going to sort of interact and produce, and it's not good enough, then yes, then we have to get through change for change's sake. I think change to improve and to sort of add depth and get a better lineup out there and is the best kind of change. But yeah, we're definitely underachieving right now, right? I mean, the way that we all are collectively doing our jobs as Cubs and showing up and trying to produce and be a team and make sure the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And that's not functioning right now in an acceptable manner. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at every possible lever that we can change and improve. And as I alluded to earlier, a lot of those things are going on behind the scenes and, you know, trying to interact with each other in different ways, trying to be the best version of ourselves so that we can be there, you know, to produce and for each other and a lot of those types of things. But, yeah, at some point, you know, obviously a different mix. You call up a new player, and we are making a transaction today. I don't know if it's out yet or not, but we're an option to Dylan Maples and call up Robel Garcia just to be another option for us. You know, he's a switch hitter with a ton of power. Can really turn around a fastball, play second base, he can play third base. And we've had him the last week playing left field just to increase his versatility. We think he's someone who could, you know, runs into the right kind of stretch, could really help the offense. And we think his bat has a chance to play off the bench. And the bottom line is like that's an example of someone who could help us. It's not a move we envisioned at the beginning of the year, but he's had a hell of a Triple-A season, swinging the bat really well, and he hits, you know, velocity and four seamers. We haven't been doing lately, so there's a chance that he can help us, and I think that just is a product of us trying to look a little bit more aggressively. You look through different lenses given what's going on with your team at different times of the year, and right now, given the way we've played, I think we'd be negligent if we weren't looking through a more proactive lens. And you know, this is an easy one. He's played well, he's improved his versatility. I think he could potentially help us, you know, in the lineup on a given day, and he can potentially help us off the bench. So that seemed like an appropriate thing to do at this time. But you know, that's just obviously step one. I think we have to continue to try to be proactive to create the right kind of change around here. What's going on,
Theo? We've heard you under duress questions about life issues like domestic abuse and bigotry, mm-hmm. and other things. This is as dejected as I've ever heard you when talking about your baseball team. Is this a new low right now?
I'm not dejected. I think we're all extremely frustrated, and it doesn't make sense to be irrationally optimistic about what's transpiring. I actually am really optimistic our ability to fix it, and because I think there's just too much talent and too much track record and too many possibilities with this team for us to define ourselves as this. I do not think that's going to happen, but you also have to be realistic, honest, candid, transparent about what's transpired. And you know, I'm not gonna you know, walk down the street, you know, humming my favorite songs and you know, sort of breathing in the fresh summer air while the team is playing like this. Not only you're going to find anyone around the team in a good mood right now. You shouldn't, because this is, you know, we're not putting a product on the field lately that's satisfactory, that is worthy of the fan support that we get, that's worthy of the investment that, you know, the Ricketts have made. And it's just not up to our own standards. It's not up to the standards of the players in uniform, who've played so hard to establish the Cubs as, you know, an elite team in Major League Baseball with a certain set of expectations. They all know that. I know it, and you know it. So why would we BS around it and pretend like it's just a little bit of a tough road trip? It's obviously more than that. We're not getting the job done right now, but I am very optimistic about where we're going. It's just, I don't quite know how we're going to get there yet, but I know we are going to get there.
Theo, Joe was on the station yesterday, and he said that how the team is playing is a reflection on him. And clearly, by your words, you all share in this, right? Management, Joe, players.
Of course.
But,
yeah.
but I'm curious specifically, how do you think Joe's doing through all of this?
Well, I'd just rather lump us in collectively. Like, I think everyone associated with the Cubs, you know, the product on the field right now is not doing an adequate job, because this it's not a short stretch of play. It's a natural part of the baseball season. It's a long stretch where we haven't even begun to answer the bell. So I think all of us haven't gotten the job done. And we're all searching for ways to do that. And I think, Joe is a unique challenge too, because he's it's his fifth year with this team, and he's remarkably consistent. But we all contribute to the environment, including the manager. And so when when players aren't responding to the environment. I mean, sometimes you have to sort of do the impossible, which is try to find a new approach and new ways to reach guys while also maintaining one of your greatest strengths, which is your consistency and your ability to be the same guy whether things are going well or going poorly. So he's got a unique challenge right now, and we all have unique challenges. With this roster, there's just a lot of underperformance and some uncharacteristic soft spots that are our fault that we haven't typically had, and that we have to track midstream. The soft spots aren't where we thought they were going to be, quite honestly, on this roster. So we just deal with that. Everyone's got things that they can do better around here, for sure. And Joe's doing a lot right, too. But nobody associated with this team feels like they're doing the job right now, that's for sure.
In terms of reinforcements that maybe could come from guys that are under contract, who's more likely to play for you guys again this year, Brandon Morrow or Ben Zobrist?
I mean, I think they both will. There's no health limitation with him, and I know he's. There is a bit of a plan in place, even though it may be a tentative one, where we're sort of have an understanding of the timetable that we'll see him at some point return. Not liberty to talk about it, but as we shared, I think about a month ago, we are hopeful that he's going to return and be able to help us down the stretch and hopefully beyond. So I believe that's coming, but it's not something that's going to address our immediate needs right now. And then Morrow's feeling pretty good and throwing all his pitches aggressively off the mound and side sessions. And that story will be told by how his arm responds when he wraps it up and gets back into game action. So I'm not going to sit here and play Jimmy the Greek for you on that one, but I hope that both guys help us.
Probably not a good idea to impersonate Jimmy the Greek anyway.
Love the old school reference, too.
It didn't age well for him. Speaking of positions that you thought was going to be a strength and hasn't been, second base. We've talked a lot about it. You guys are 10-21 in games that Addison Russell starts, and obviously David Bodie has been slumping. Ian Happ is, not that he was in second baseman recently, but he's in Iowa, and Zobrist has his situation. Descalso hasn't been hitting.
Mm-hmm.
What goes into the decision on who plays second base?
It's just whoever Joe feels gives us the best chance to win on that given day, offensively and defensively. It's a combination of who's doing the opposing starting pitcher is, and is he right-handed, is he left-handed, is he a four-seam guy, is he a two-seam guy, is he a slider guy or a curveball guy, does he pitch up, does he pitch down, is he a guy who can throw his secondary pitches for strikes, is he a guy that we expect to give in and give us fastballs and fastball counts, where does he make mistakes, do those mistakes play well with which player's swing path lines up better with where the opposing starting pitcher makes his mistakes and gives up damage. And so it's a series of analyses that Joe and his support staff perform to get to a sort of best answer from an offensive standpoint. And then it has a lot to do with our starting pitcher too. Is it a ground ball guy? Do we expect this pitcher to get ground balls against left-handed hitters that'll make second base a heavier defensive position, a more impactful defensive position on that given day? Quintana or Azale pitching a fly ball guy, you don't expect second base to be as active, then you weight the defensive variable a little bit more lightly. What ballpark are we playing in? So sort of myriad factors, and also the player's development. Joe wants to play each guy enough to keep him fresh, but that's the sort of science, and then there's a lot of art to it as well, where Joe just uses his feel and on a series by series basis makes those decisions and writes out the lineup as best he can. That's the process.
Does the recent impotence of the division change the way you recalibrate anything?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really change anything because we expect it to be in a very competitive division, and we are. It's just everybody's about 10 to 15 games below where they expected to be. But I guess the best way to answer that question is it would sure change it if we were in a division with a team that was running away with it and kind of putting together a great year and we found ourselves 10 games out, we'd absolutely be in sell mode right now, you know, but we're not, thankfully. Within a game here, and even though we may not deserve to be at this point, but we are, and we certainly have the ability, as do other teams in the division, to put together a dominant second half and run away from the competition. So our focus is on trying to do that, but God, you got to walk before you can run. And right now, we're just trying to get out of this tailspin that we're in.
So it feels fairly safe to say that the next few weeks of play is going to be a large determining factor in terms of buy or sell.
Yeah, of course. I think as it is for virtually every team, except for a handful who have sort of clearly defined themselves already in the standings. But yeah, but even if it doesn't clearly define itself from where we are now, the opportunity to make transactions to put a better product on the field is not one that can be wasted. So if we don't put ourselves in, if we don't sort of, play a stretch of great baseball and tell us that we think we have a real chance to win the World Series, and so we look to polish off the roster, we're still probably going to be aggressively looking for ways to get us out of this and to play better. There are definitely areas we can improve, and we need to start. We need to start making those changes to try to improve. And I hope to heck too that the patience we've shown with a lot of guys pays off also. But we're moving beyond the hope stage at this point in the season.
Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Theo Epstein. We know it's tougher to talk when things aren't going well, so we appreciate your time and your candor, Theo.
No problem. Theo. And give yourself a break this weekend. Hum that favorite song one time, especially if it's something by The Doors, because Jim Morrison died 48 years ago today. But nothing dark. Something like Light My Fire
I'll
or Peace Frog. Something good, yeah.
We'll see. Someone just drove by playing Apples, Peaches, Pumpkin Pie, so we'll see if I can start humming along to that one.
Enjoy your fourth, Theo.
Thank you, Theo.
Thank you. That's Theo Epstein with us. The segment brought to you by The Art of Pizza. The Art of Pizza is celebrating 30 years in Lakeview. The Art of Pizza, located at 3033 North Ashland. Stop in for up to 18 varieties of hot, fresh stuffed pan and thin crust slices. Delivery begins 11 a.m. every day. Call 773-327-5600 or visit artofpizzachicago.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.